trust that you're going to be blessed by listening to this message, that you will be encouraged, inspired into everything that God has planned and purposed for your life. So enjoy.
Thank you, Gary, Pastor Gary, for coming and speaking to us.
Okay. It's the first time I've got using a clicker today. Clicking down for scriptures, okay? Hopefully it won't click up, I'll click down for the right way. It's quite funny coming over today. We got the train, got the car over to Malden. And I've left my glasses in the. So you're already glorious at the moment, but you're slightly blurry. Okay, so it's fine. It's okay. Thankfully, I can read the scriptures. It's great to be here. It's great to be part of what's happening in London and obviously across the whole city today. We're going to go on a bit of a journey. Okay, so stay with me with the journey. Fair amount of scriptures. They'll all come up at the back. So, you know, you can turn this if you want to in your Bible, but they're all going to be behind us. Father, let's just pray, shall we? Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you speak, your Father, your words of life. Your words are spirit and they are life. Father, they bring life to us today. They bring encouragement today. They bring breakthrough for every single person, Father, here in this room. And Lord, I thank you for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, upon every heart and mind here today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just check. I've got the first one. Okay. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God's got a plan for your life. God's ordained a specific plan for your life. He prepared before creation began. Life won't give you what you deserve. Life will give you what you settle for. Don't settle for second best. Yeah? Settle for what God has planned for your life. Today, really, what I want to do is I want to open up the whole area of just really understanding the power of hope, the liberating power of hope. And by the end of it, you're going to be encouraged. Okay, by the end of this, you're going to really be encouraged. There's going to be a little bit in the middle that might be slightly challenging. Okay, just bear with me for that bit, and then we'll come through the other side. Okay, make sure I've got my pen the right way around, and I'm now hitting that button there. Yay! Technology. Hope in conjunction with faith enables us to see and receive the future that God has planned for us. Ephesians 1, verse 18 to 19, in the NIV says, "I also pray for your heart to be filled with light, that you will see for yourself and know in your experience," watch this, these words, "the hope to which he has called you, the purpose he wants to see fulfilled in your life." What is this hope? What is it? "That his saints, all those who belong to him, will enjoy the riches of his glorious inheritance, and they may also know his power working in them because they believe in him. A power so great it cannot be compared with any other power." Amen. What is this hope? I'm going to mention it many times. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. This hope is powerful. This hope is living. This hope is alive. I love this one now here. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and do you remember sandwiches as a kid? I was born nearly 53 years ago, so I'm quite young. And my mum used to give me Spam sandwiches. Spam sandwiches. Some of you might like Spam, but for me, a good day would be jam sandwiches. A really, really good day. When I opened up my sandwich port and I saw jam, it was like, it's heaven day, jam today. So there's a sandwich here in Scripture. And now these three remain. Faith, huge amounts of teaching on that. Hope, now hope's the jam in this sandwich. You're going to see this today. And love. And the greatest of these is love. We know love is the greatest because God is love. But we're going to specifically look at hope, and you're going to see the power of this hope. God's going to liberate hope in your life like it's never been liberated today. You're going to see breakthroughs in your life. You're going to see circumstances changed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know it's going to happen this morning. As a supernatural product of faith, hope's power enables the believer through a joyful expectation. Just say to your friend, joyful expectation.
Joyful expectation.
A joyful expectation not to give up in the face of adversity or delay. Natural hope is dependent on our senses, our sensory perception. What does that mean? Basically, what we can see, hear and touch, this forms the evidence that becomes the basis of this hope. Natural hope depends on supporting evidence. It will rise and fall with every positive or negative reports. Now, we've had some bad stuff happen in the city, haven't we? We've had some really challenging stuff. And praise God, our hope is not in our circumstances. Our hope is in the one who is above those circumstances. Our hope, it's interesting, in a time of when bad things happen, isn't it interesting there's two voices that come. There's love and there's hate. Isn't it interesting that they come to the surface? They come out and come to the surface. Those that forgive and those that hate. Those that love and those. It's just really interesting. Biblical hope is not based upon the information received by our natural senses, but based upon the information directly imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. And it is received through faith. God's given hope eagerly waits with perseverance. It creates an expectation that survives the ups and downs of life's changing circumstances. Many years ago, when my daughter's 23, nearly, she's 23, I'm just looking over to my wife, Rachel, she's 23, and my son is 20. I made the bizarre, really wacky mistake one year of going to, where was it? Was it something like Alton Towers? Or something like that, wasn't it? Some theme park. It was Alton Towers. And I bought one of those tickets that went on, that me and Sarah could get right to the front of the queue on every ride. Paid a lot more for it. And I spent the whole day on this, going on roller coasters. You know, going down into these things where you leave your stomach about 300 foot in the air. And I can remember, as you see, life can appear like that. You know, the ups and downs, you know what I mean? Your mortgage comes in, or bills need to be paid, or circumstances change. And life can be a bit like that. If we keep our focus on these things, you know, they can appear like that. Emotionally, it can take us 1 minute, you know, we're blessed. The next minute, we're looking at the circumstances and we're going, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And then we're blessed. See, where we keep our focus is really important. And Romans, okay, hopefully you got this behind me now. Romans 8:28. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And we know that in all things, say all things,
all things.
God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see that there? The joyful evidence of things not seen. Whereas hope is the joyful expectation that keeps us engaged in faith. It's a joyful expectation. It's a God thing that God's done inside of you that keeps you really engaged in the reality of where you're going. Some of you might not believe me now, but you're going to believe me after this scripture. Romans 15, verse 13. Now listen, look at the words again. May the God of your hope so fill you with joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith that by the power, listen to this, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. You've got the Holy Spirit inside you. The Holy Spirit all the time is bubbling over with hope. Why? Because the expectation is that God is good. You know, I love that Chris Tomlin song. He's a good, good father, and that's who he is. And I'm loved by you, that's who I am. My God is good. Doesn't matter what the circumstances say. God is still good. But we have this, the Holy Spirit's like this living hope. And, you know, when you walk into a room, when you walk into a room and you're amongst other people, just smile at me, it helps. When you walk into a room and you come in into, you know, you've got the living hope inside of you. You've got God in you, Christ in you, and this hope. So someone could be in a place of depression or oppression, and you could walk in and you go, hey, actually, there's hope living inside of me, and he's called Jesus. My circumstances can change. Jesus is bigger than that. Don't be so downcast. There's hope, there's life, there's faith. It's inside of us, amen? Okay. Hebrews 6:19. It gets even more exciting. You're going to be convinced about the liberating power of hope. I know you are. I know you are. I really am excited about this. Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip or break down under whoever steps out on it. A hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. This hope is so real that it's called an anchor. It is described as being firm and secure, like the anchor of a ship. It holds us when storms bring pressures and drive us away from the place that God has chosen to work in our lives. It is a living and powerful reality that creates an expectation like an anchor that secures us while we're waiting for the manifestation of a miracle. A joy that comes from knowing he is reigning over our lives. That we are anchored to his throne. It is secure and unmovable. And we are held by a powerful connection that it gives. Amen. That's it. Finish now. I can go home. Now there's more. But that's even you could survive on that one. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. You have an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Connecting you into the very holy of holies. Like an anchor, it's connecting you there. So when you've got that connection, it's that anchors into the Holy of Holies. You've got this lifeline, you're walking along. The winds of adversity blow. They try and blow you off course, but no, God's going to keep you secure. God's going to keep you safe. God's going to keep you anchored. God's going to keep you because you're looking at him. It's an unbreakable lifeline reaching past the appearances to the very presence of God, where Jesus running on ahead of us has taken up the permanent post as high priest of our life. Now listen to this. Some of this is, you know, this is for us, I think, in the Western world. You know, we're so sometimes sense-driven, you know, by advertising, by what we see. True peace is not found in positive thinking, in the absence of conflict. You can be in the middle of the greatest storm and that you can have peace in your life because Jesus is in control. Jesus is the overcomer. You can be going through the toughest thing because you have Jesus, you have peace. You have peace with God and you that divine peace lives inside you. So true peace is not found in positive thinking, in the absence of conflict or in good feelings. It comes from knowing that God is in control. Me and Rachel have been through some tough stuff over the last 25 years, say, in ministry. Tough stuff with our family. But we've walked through that. Why? Because God is in control and he's our peace. He's overcome. He's overcome every storm. And we're in the one who overcomes. And we're walking with him in his grace. See, our citizenship in Christ's kingdom is sure, our destiny is set, and we can have victory over every sin. Let God's peace guard your heart against anxiety. I'm just going to quote a little bit from Robert Louis Stevenson from a story here. But I want you to see this in just really a visual way. In Robert Louis Stevenson's story of a storm, he described a ship caught off a rocky coast, threatening death on all on board. One of the terrified passengers made his way up to the pilot house, where the pilot was lashed to the post with his hands on the wheel, turning the ship little by little into the open sea. You've seen the Hollywood blockbusters, haven't you? You've seen that there, you know, there's the great storm. You've seen all of the waves coming around them, you know, and, you know, the wind and the waves. And you can see, you know, that person there, you know, like that pilot. What happened next is really important. The pilot smiled at the man. That was enough. Can you imagine? You're in this position, you're in a boat, and you've seen all this. It's amazing, you know, the storm. You don't know whether this ship is going to be dashed against the rocks. But you come up to the pilot, and you see his face, and the pilot smiles at you. That smile changes everything. The pilot smiled at the man, who then rushed back to the deck below, shouting, "I've seen the face of the pilot, all is well. I've seen the face of the pilot, all is well. I've seen the face of the pilot, all is well." All is well. The sight of the smiling pilot averted panic and converted despair into hope. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. See, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, God will author faith in us. He will author faith that we need as we walk on this journey. Faith will fix our course as we journey, but hope is our anchor when the storms come and we are tempted to change our course. It will keep us firmly fixed in the pathway of our destination, so we will continue without wavering. Hope will become your lifeline, your stabilizer. You are not at the mercy of life's unpredictable winds and currents. Your storm won't destroy you. Amen. Who's here has been through storms in life? Yeah. Our storms won't destroy us. God wants to break the demoralizing power of hopelessness. Why is that? Hopelessness paralyzes the soul. Hopeless hearts can't reach out in faith. Yeah? Hope is to the heart what seeds are to the earth. Without hope, life is sterile, unfruitful. Without it, dreams won't be conceived, destinies won't be realized. Hope is powerful because it's the starting line. It's the launch pad. It is, in fact, the incubator where faith is formed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If there is no hope for the future, there will be no faith to face it, let alone build it. Now, here comes a little bit in the middle now. Okay, here comes the challenging bit in the middle. We have to get through this bit, and there's a reason for that. Scripture says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Now, you know this yourselves, probably from Pastor Helena and Jonathan, you know, the power of the tongue, the power of speaking. We want to speak what is righteous. We want to speak what is true. We want to speak life over ourselves, even amongst storms life. But the challenge we have here, the Word of God exhorts us to build a sacred enclosure around the headwaters of our life. What does that mean? It means to take care and to protect that inner spring that nourishes us and propels virtually everything else we will ever do. It tells us to guard our heart above all else, making sure we concentrate on those desires that will keep us on the right path. Proverbs 13:12 says, this may not be here, but I think it would be, yes it is. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred. When things don't turn out, you know, the way that we think they're going to turn out, what can happen in that moment when we're looking at circumstances, when we're looking at the storm, where things don't come through the way in which we believe they should do? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We exhorted in Hebrews 12:1. What affects our endurance in the race? The loss of hope. The lack of endurance is one of the results of a hope-deferred heart. What causes this condition described by the scriptures as hope-deferred? It's really very simple. Unfulfilled or shattered dreams, hopes and dreams. If it now hurts when you think about your dream, if passion has waned and apathy has encroached, if you find yourself going through the motions, doing and saying the right things, all the while feeling empty and lifeless on the inside. If the promise now sparks disillusionment or cynicism instead of faith, if the statement God is going to come through for you is met with doubt or questioning, you're probably experiencing some level of a hope-deferred heart. David experienced the same thing, exactly the same thing. Now, this slate isn't up here, but this is Psalm 142. Listen to this. David's in a right pickle. He says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul." And listen to this, verse 7. It says, "Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name." What had happened in that reality? Now, David's in a... He's, you know, obviously, having a king chase you, you know, trying to kill him, running him across the country is quite not a good day, is it really? It's not a good day. But hope deferred, what happened, that heart, that hope deferred heart, what had happened? It had imprisoned David's soul. David had to command his soul to hope. Have you ever done that? Come on, soul. Come on. Come on. I'm a new creation in Christ. Come on. The old is gone and the new is gone. Come on, emotions. Come in line with the word of God. Psalm 42:11. This is the heart cry. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" Listen to the words. "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." All he's doing is he's taking his eyes off the circumstances. He's lifting him to the Father and going, "God, you're good. God, you're good. God, you're good. God, you're great. God, you're mighty. God, you're wonderful. You know, your healing power is there for me every day. God, you're wonderful. I can take hold of you every day." See, perhaps life has thrown you a few curveballs that it did today, like David. This crazy king throwing spears at him, causing him to hide in a cave. Now, your cave may be pain. It may be discouragement. It may be disillusionment. It really doesn't matter the cause. Hope deferred hurts. But don't let this enemy imprison your soul. This is a wonderful thing. I don't think I've got it up here. No, I'm going to do that one in a minute. God says you can become a prisoner of hope and not of despair. So as David did, command your soul to hope. He made it out of his prison, and so will you. You may not feel like it, but you're going to live again. You're going to leave your prison or cave and rise above every disappointment and re-enter life. The power of hope is going to help you. And do you know what's wonderful? Hope has a name. Hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Hope has a name and his name is Jesus. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. Hope has a name and he's living. How do we know this? May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that you are bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. With all my heart, I believe God wants to crown every tomb of your life with a resurrection. Everywhere that the enemy said that can't happen, everywhere that he said that that's never going to happen, God wants to crown this with a resurrection. Why? Because God isn't speaking death over us, God is speaking life over us. Abraham and Sarah discovered this wonderful truth. Theirs was an extreme case of hope deferred makes the heart sick. What happened? We're going to go through this in a minute, and we're going to get to the, just to see this. They laughed cynically when, after 24 years of waiting, God came to them one more last time, promising Isaac. You may, so there may be someone, there may be people in this room now that are going, oh yeah, right. Yeah, I've heard this before. Can't teach me anything. You see, we've got to be really careful that we guard our hearts, because God doesn't want our hearts to become cynical. You may even recognize this laugh of cynicism, having experienced it yourself. Now, we're going to look at this now. Just, I think every time I read this, it just makes me laugh. Every time. This is Genesis 17, 16 to 18. This is God speaking now. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that you will become a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed at him and laughed and said to himself, "It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen through me. Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? You've got to be kidding." And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Look at me. There's not a lot going to work in this body, is there? So, for me, there's comedy in Scripture. There's fun in Scripture. It's just there. You just got to look at it. Genesis 18, 10 to 12. Now here comes another one. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were clearly already old and well advanced in years. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah... So Sarah laughed to herself and she thought, am I warm out? My master is old. Will I now have this pleasure of having a baby after all these years? You've got to be kidding. This is what it's like. It's reality. They're prunes. They're holy prunes, but they're prunes. There was no hope. There was nothing left. Their faith for a child was dead. They were cynical. But their story didn't end there. Praise God. The God of resurrection stepped in. Listen to his final witness. To a God of resurrection stepped in. Listen to his final witness of a restored Abraham and Sarah, who broke through into faith and fulfillment, just as you are going to do. Amen. This is now, watch this. Romans 4:18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as he had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. See, there can be circumstances in your life that seem completely dead. They're not dead to God. They're not dead to God. They're not dead in what God has planned for you, what he's purposed over you. Yet, now listen to this, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. What was he doing? He was fixing his eyes on God. God, I fix my eyes on you. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he'd promised. Just listen to this now. If Abraham and Sarah could move from such an extreme stage of hope-deferred heart to strong, vibrant faith, you can as well. In hope against hope is a powerful phrase. It means that in the face of absolute hopelessness, Abraham hoped anyway. Winds of adversity may have blown through your life. Your world may be falling apart. But if you look closely enough, you'll see the light of God's faithfulness shining through the debris. And you can rise above of the devastation, because it's in your nature to overcome. Like I said earlier on, why is that? We have Christ in us. The hope. Here's that word again, the hope of glory. Before God is finished, you're going to climb out of the debris. How do I know that? Really powerful scripture. We know these scriptures. How do I know that? And again, listen, we've read them hundreds of times, but see, there's this word that's right in there. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. You're going to announce to the world that you've entered a new day. Why? Because deep down in your DNA, you're an overcomer. God programmed you to heal, to overcome, and to win. Exodus chapter 3 and 4 makes it clear that Moses had completely run out of hope. His tank was empty. He was past believing. Any faith he had fulfilling his destiny, helping his fellow Israelites, had been dead for a long time. But the God who brings hope to the hopeless re-entered his life through a burning bush, opened up his clogged arteries, gave him a shot of adrenaline and said, "Let's go, Moses, I'm not finished with you." Can you imagine all of those years? Donkey's years, sitting and listening to bah, bah, bah in the desert. Bah, that's all he's heard. Like Abraham, you will believe. Like Sarah, you will conceive. And like Moses, you will rise from every isolation and exile. You will rise again. God is determined to reverse your tragedy into transformation and crown your tomb with a testimony of a glorious resurrection. God is determined to do this for you. Just hear the Lord speaking to you personally today. God is determined to do this for you. He'll take the greatest tragedy, he'll step into your world, he'll cause faith and hope to arise in your heart, that you can begin to believe again. You begin to take in that oxygen of his life. Begin to trust in his word again. Because even now, in the season of your life, he's got good things planned for you. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, guys. The best is yet to come. Thank you for pursuing me with your relentless love, never giving up on me. Your love has made it possible for me to hope against hope and find real hope once again. My life will be beautifully transformed and crowned with a testimony of a glorious resurrection. Many of us, if we're honest, will admit we have areas in our hearts where hope deferred has robbed us. Now listen to this. What it does is it robs us of our ability to believe for anything truly supernatural. You've got promises over your life. Things have happened. Because they haven't happened in the way you've wanted them to happen, our hearts have become sick or hope deferred. You know, there's a sickness that's gone in there. You are an overcomer in the deepest part of your spiritual DNA. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. 1 John 5 verse 4. I want you to see a picture now. Have the attitude of a small bird in the midst of a storm that was clinging to the limb of a tree, seemingly calm and unafraid. As the winds tore at the limbs of the tree, the bird continued to look the storm in the face. Can you imagine this? Imagine this amazing storm, this little bird hanging on to the side of the tree. The wind's blowing, it's just hanging on there like that. And in amongst this storm, you know, he turns to the storm to look at the storm in the face and say to it, "Shake me off. Shake me off, storm. Shake me off. I've still got wings." Yeah. Doesn't matter. You can shake me off of this tree. I tell you, I've still got wings. We need to be Red Bull Christians. We've got wings. Shake me off. We've still got wings. There's hope to every tragedy. There's faith, there's life that God's not speaking death over you. He's speaking life over you. But you see, if any of us are in any cave today, if you found ourselves in a, you know, whatever cave that looks like of disillusionment, discouragement, let's be real today. Let's be real. In a minute, we're gonna enter into worship again. I'm going to ask you to do something, okay? And please, the decision that you make is either going to be, it's going to be a breakthrough. I don't want to do this in a manipulative way. All I want you to do is, in your heart, God has been speaking to you specifically about something. If it's been about cynicism, it's been about a discouragement, all I want you to do is to come out of your place in a minute and just come and stand at the front. That's all I want you to do. And we're going to pray something together, okay? But don't harden your heart. Don't rid yourself down into the chair and say, I'm not moving for no one. Well, praise God. God doesn't want you to stay in a cave. He wants you to be free. But we've got to recognize sometimes we get stuff that happens to us. God has spoken stuff in our lives. You know, me and Rachel, we're hanging on for our, our children have known the Lord and they've walked away from the Lord now. But actually, in my heart of hearts, I know I'm not putting my faith in what I see on this roller coaster. I'm putting my faith in God's word. Yeah? And I'm speaking life over Sarah. I'm speaking life over Samuel. I know that they're gods, yeah? I'm not going to allow what's happened to determine their future or me filter that future for them. Yeah? I'm not a victim of any storm. Why? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God says, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. Here comes the crunch, guys. Okay? Pastor Jonathan and Hannah are away. Here comes the crunch. If God has spoken today about an area of your life where you know God wants you to step out from being in fear to being in faith. God wants you to step out of any disillusionment. It's time. Today is the day of salvation. It's time to come out every cave of discouragement. If you're feeling discouraged, the enemy will want you to look at yourself and stay in this cave. God says, come on out. Come on out. Don't be discouraged anymore. But you've got to make a choice in your heart, in a decision. It's time to come out of the cave of confusion, where we begin to question ourselves and even God's promises. We come out of every unbelief. It's time to come out of every cave of disillusionment, which means we question God's character and nature. Now here's a tough one here. We come out of every cave of bitterness, where we blame God or we blame others. We come out now of every cave of cynicism. Yeah? Now you know if the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about any area of your life where you need to step into. But please today, hear the word of the Lord and respond to that word. And you're coming out of that now. And what we're going to do, we're going to pray together. Some words, I'm just going to pray. Is that okay? Shall we stand? So I want us to do, in a sense, if I was in the row now, I'd just come out. Let's just lift our eyes to the Lord now. You're worthy of glory and honor. Just begin to worship Him. You're worthy of glory and honor. Worship you, Lord God. You're worthy of glory and honor. I exalt you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Shianna ramanda ramosa ramanda bahai. exalt you, God. So see. So Ramanda Remishianda Ramah. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords. Worship you, my God. Worship you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. If this has spoken of anything of you today, all I want you to do is just come. Just come. And just, I just want you just to come and just stand here now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just going to give every person the opportunity to sing. Even if it's coming out of the aisle and coming to the center aisle, make a choice today. Do something to respond to the Lord, because you know in your own heart, you know in your own heart, God, if I've got discouraged, God, if I've become cynical, God, I can't believe you, Father, for the miracle, Father, because of what has gone. We're just going to pray now, okay? Just want you to repeat after me. Father, I choose to partner with the dreams of your heart for me. Running the race of life enthusiastically, effectively, and with profound joy. I lay down at the foot of your cross the debilitating burdens of a hope-deferred heart that I've carried. I'm trading these ashes in for beauty. No longer will I be a prisoner of hopelessness. I will hope in you, God, and become a vibrant prisoner of hope. I am a tree of life person. Just lift your hands to him now. Just lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord God.
Let's just be silent for one moment. Jesus. 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 Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, seal the word on our hearts. Holy Spirit, watch over the word that's been sown in our hearts today. Protect it, watch it, guard it, and keep it in our hearts, Jesus. Holy Spirit, give us the wisdom of God to guard our own hearts and to guard what you have put there. Holy Spirit, remind us and lead us to take that responsibility to guard our own hearts and to guard what you've put there. Lord Jesus, thank you for the word that you have sown in our hearts today. And thank you that you watch over it to perform it in our lives.
God. Kingdom Faith London, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just speak out a thanksgiving to Jesus from your own lips. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to guard that word he's put on your heart. Jesus. Holy Spirit, guard the word you've put on my heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you to guard your own heart. Holy Spirit, remind me to guard my own heart. Strengthen me to guard my own heart. Show me how to guard my own heart. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen. Presence of Jesus. It's nice to linger. Thank you, Pastor Gary. There's a sense of God's word today. It's quite a big word today, and it's a word that we can feed on for quite a while to come. And it's a word that I think God's done something. God's put, yeah, as we've said, God's put a seed. He's put a truth, and it's worth holding on to it. It's worth guarding. It's not a light thing. It's what God has given us today. Cost him his blood, essentially. Jesus is our hope, and it's not something to let just flit away. But there's wealth and treasure in what we've received today from the Lord, and it's worth guarding. It's worth keeping hold of. Praise the Lord.
We trust that you have been encouraged by the word today, and we pray over each and every one of you that God will do a sovereign work in your life. If you want to ask further questions, then please get in touch with us. All the details are on the website, www.kingdomfaith.com, where you can contact us for any further information.